Maestro Tuttle, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's open God's Word to the Gospel of John 17. As far as prayer is concerned, let's continue to be in prayer for Thomas's health. Let's be in prayer for my son, Judah's son, Kelly, as he's recovering. Very severe. He's in great pain, and they'll only give you so much morphine and stuff to take, and he won't let me take it out on the street and sell it, but he's in severe pain. So please be in prayer for the recovery. And my granddaughter broke her hand, and so it's in a big green, a psychedelic neon green, and she's really upset about that. What's so funny is we have two in that same family, and one, just that's what she's wanted, is broken bones, so she could have a cast and all this stuff. She's just an athletic person, and she just feels like you got to do that. And Madison, the one who had the broken bone, I didn't know you could have a bucket list when you're 15, but her bucket list is just she would never have a broken bone. And so one doesn't want it at all, gets it. The one that wants it is mad because it's not her. And so please be in prayer. What the problem is, it's a very critical break, and they're hoping that the cast and all will cause the bone to heal, but it's not going to get a lot of blood because the top of the hand doesn't get much blood, as you know, because the fingers and all are getting it. And they're hoping they don't have to go in and do surgery and put pins in and all. So about 6 or 7 weeks, they'll take off this cast and find out. But she's already complaining about the cast. And if you say anything, she'll hit you with it. And all the friends want to sign it. And you need a bigger one. We can all sign it. This isn't big enough. And so please be in prayer for Madison. Please be in prayer for Thomas. Please be in prayer for Kelly. The whole family, yeah. It's tough on everybody. And So, now, any other prayer requests that I need to have? Yes. Okay. Yes. How old is Ty?
Ty is 55 years old.
55, okay, he's young.
Young man.
And he has a 10-year-old daughter.
Okay. Okay, very good. Well, we'll be in prayer for Ty.
Yeah.
Now, the praise.
The praise is the Bible study is getting better.
Good.
Good. One by accident, I just turned around and talked to somebody, and he said, "Can you send in an invitation?" And the second one today, at first, my friend and I, the daughters, the two of us, we just sat sitting down praying about it, and he sat and eat sandwiches next to us. So he said, "What are you guys doing?" So we just, "Why don't you go and sit?"
Good.
That he said, "Well, I'm Catholic. Can I join?"
So, come on in. Absolutely. Y'all use the Bible, don't you? That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, so I ended up sending him an invitation afterwards.
Very good. All right, we'll continue to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer for Gerald Weber's son. And Gerald Weber is a member of our church in that sense, so please be in prayer for Gerald Weber. And any other prayers? Good to have Webb back with us. And he's after being gone two Sundays, two critical Sundays. Do you have any guilt? Good. Where we were in prayer. Go ahead. You're right. I don't get much of that. Well, we'll continue to be in follow-up prayer, the work of the Holy Spirit, and that'll be super. I remember my very first funeral. I hadn't taken the church, I don't think, a month, and somebody asked me if I would do the funeral of some relative, and it was over here off of Webb's Chapel, and we had the plot right next to the road. I mean, cars just zooming by, and we had a morning service, and I didn't know them, but it went okay. Okay, any other prayer requests? All right, let's get ready for our study in the Word of God in prayer. Heavenly Father, this prayer is just absolutely informative. So much about you, so much about your son, your plan, about us. Father, this is just a remarkable prayer, and we pray now that your spirit will guide us as we close it down, getting ready for the movement to the crucifixion and resurrection. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, before we go into John 17, look at John 18. Now, we just finished 2 weeks of just going through the sequence of events of the crucifixion and resurrection. Now, what we're getting ready to do, and I've already just been having a tremendous time, I'm going to go through and look at some of the details of this event. When Jesus, chapter 18, verse 1, When Jesus had spoken these words, the prayer of chapter 17, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of Kidron. Now, he's the only one that mentions that. Matthew, Mark, Luke do not mention the Kidron. But look, where there was a garden into which he himself entered, and his disciples. What is the name of the garden? Gethsemane. You know it, and I know it, but John didn't say it. One of the other synoptic writers said it. So we're going to deal with the things that John chose to say, the things that John chose to leave out. And while the liberals use this as a tool to attack the authenticity of the writers of Scripture, we're going to see the work of the Holy Spirit in an unbelievable way. Because this is just unbelievable stuff that we're going to be looking at. And if you look, where there was a garden into which he himself entered and his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place. Well, wait a minute, John. What about the Lord asking you and Peter and James to go further into the garden with him? What about where the Lord was in prayer and sweat drops of blood? What about all that? He was part of it and doesn't even mention it. Got to go to the Synoptic Gospel. Why is that? Well, we're going to see one of the most fantastic views that the Holy Spirit is working with John as far as the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, the passion of Christ. But first we have to finish up the prayer, and we are in verse 26. I have made thy name known to them. Aorist active indicative of norizo. That's exactly what the word means, to make known, to reveal. And so it's the aorist active indicative. Now, what I want to talk about a moment is that the aorist tense does not look at a specific time frame here, but just acknowledges the fact that Christ made his name known. And the active voice, Jesus Christ made it known. Jesus Christ made the decision to come to earth, take the form of humanity, and to suffer the sufferings of the cross, bearing the judgment of sins, so that the whole world would know God the Father. One thing, I've got it later on, but I want to say it now. Note this. I have made thy name known to them. What about his name? He was occupied with making the Father's name known. And I'm going to talk about that in regard to our own ministry. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is the one sent from the Father, came to reveal the Father, and to propitiate the Father. It's all about God the Father, people. It's not about us. It's not really even about Jesus Christ. It's about God the Father. So I'm going to show you this. Now, this may prick you a little bit because we make the great emphasis Jesus Christ, and rightly so. But let's take our note from him. He came, and this is how he sees what he did. He doesn't say, I paid the debt of sin. I am suffering for the salvation of man. I made thy name known. So the active voice refers to the revealing of the Father and our salvation, another aspect of it. The indicative mood is the reality of the revelation of God the Father. People, this is powerful. The reality of the revelation of God the Father. This is what we're here for. We are here, when we give people the gospel, we are giving them the gospel so that they may come to God the Father. Now, what is important here is that this verb, to make known, was not in the subjunctive mood. Maybe I made it known, maybe I didn't make it known, meaning maybe some didn't know and some did know. People, here's the principle that I want to point out with the absence of the subjunctive mood, is that Jesus Christ made known the name of God the Father, even though multitudes around the world at his time and throughout history reject him and refuse to know him. But Jesus Christ made his name known. Whether anyone believed in him and came to the Father is not the point. The point is that he fulfilled his mission. We have a mission. We have a mission. And just babbling here for a moment, let's say that you knew, let's say you came across and you found a toothpaste. And I mean, this toothpaste would not only clean the teeth, make them white, cure any gum problems, and all these things, and you only had to use it once a week. People would want to tell people. We'd want to tell people. Well, we're here to tell people about God. We have something far greater than something like that. We have something far greater than a penicillin creation, invention. We have something that's absolutely phenomenal. We have the name of the only true God, verse 3. The only true God. The only true Savior. And I just hope you're excited to tell others about God and about Jesus Christ as you would about something like that. Man, let me tell you, I've got the perfect weight cure for you. I've got the perfect cancer cure. I want to get on television. I want to tell people. People who have cancer need to know about this. People, we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about eternity. This should be our breath's desire. To let people know about the only true God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a look at how important making known, knowing and making known is to Jesus Christ just in this prayer. It's amazing how much is in this prayer. Look at verse 3, 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God. Look at verse 6. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. I revealed, made known. Look at verse 7. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me. They have come to know. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and they truly understood that I came forth from thee. People, we're getting at the heart of the gospel. Who is this Jesus? What's so special about him? He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good guy. He's the one sent of God. This is powerful stuff. Look at verse 13. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. And the point here is, I speak. I speak in the world. Verse 14. I have given them thy word. This is what he came to do. Verse 20. Verse 20. Let's look at verse 20. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. Verse 23. That the world may know. And then verse 25 and 26. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee. Remember last week we saw how many times this word know is in these two verses. Although the world has not known thee, one, yet I have known thee, two. And these have known, three, that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, four. And will make it known, five. Five times in two verses. What a gracious God to let us know and to make known these things for us. It's not about him and his name. It's about God the Father's name as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. You've got to know me to come to the Father, but it's about God the Father. Verse 26. I have made thy name known to them. Here's another issue of prime importance to God, to Jesus Christ. God's name. Not just know God, but God's name. Verse 6, I manifested thy name. Verse 11, keep them in thy name, the name you have given me. Verse 12, kept in his name. To make a person's name known is to make that person known. His person, his character, his acts, his deeds, who and what he is, his plans. Verse 26, I have made known. Again, the aorist active indicative, norizo, to make known, to reveal, to declare, to teach, to become acquainted, to recognize any way, every way that you possibly can. And it just, it's, the flexibility depends on the opportunities. With our young people, we do it one way. With the really young people, children, we do it another way. I do it a way in public here. You do it a way in your witnessing. But our objective is to make his name known. Jesus desires that we all know and come acquainted with his name, causing one to know what he did not previously know. And that, people, I don't know how many of you witness. I don't know your personal life. Don't want to, don't need to. But I got to tell you, there's just something wonderful to see someone hear about Jesus Christ, isn't it? Just something wonderful. I don't care if they're younger or children, but older, but just to hear, see, and come in contact with someone who comes in contact with the reality of God the Father and Jesus Christ. It is just absolutely phenomenal. All right? These aorist active indicative are used. We could pull them together. We just looked at them separately together. Sum up the life ministry of Jesus Christ. In reality, he accomplished this in some 3 years. I have made known to them. That's a dative case in the Greek. And what's the importance here? Dative of advantage. It is to their advantage that they have this revelation made known to them. Now, what they do with it is another deal. But it is to their advantage. It is to your, to the advantage of anyone you give the gospel to. Julie at work. The young people workers with young people. Just to make them aware. Make them know. It is to their advantage to have it. Now, if they take advantage of it and believe in Jesus Christ, all the more. But it is to their advantage to know, excuse me, Jesus Christ. Now, here's the question. To whom is this referring? I have made known. See, what is, to what is he referring to? I have made known thy name to them. Who is to them? Is this referring to believers? Is this referring to unbelievers? I believe that we can make a strong case from verse 1 to verse 26 of this chapter that it is referring to all people, to everyone, unbelievers, believers in the world. It is to everyone's advantage to know about Jesus Christ, to know about God the Father. It's to their advantage. And different people do different things with it. And if you give it the wrong, think about this. I have made known thy name. What do religious people do? People that listen to religious people do not know God. They know the wrong God. They know a God is up there taking score. They know a God is going to come and get them. They don't know the true God of grace. How comforting it is to the soul to know the truth about God. To know the truth about the only true God is vital. How cruel it is to know God but not in truth. To have a God you're in fear of. To have a God who's watching everything you do. To have a God that's in the discard business rather than the refurbishing business. What's your view of God and who are you communicating? Jesus Christ, I made your name. That's his character. What kind of God do you make known to people? That's what's really important. Not just God, but what kind of God? Is it a God who is righteous and just, and that's what you have to deal with? or is it a God of love? And that's what you have to deal with. It is by grace, or is it by works? People, there are people who are handicapped throughout their whole life because their introduction to God was not the true God. This is important. Vital. It's to your advantage to know the truth about the true God. Now, that takes care of who? Know what? What has he made known? I have made known to them your name. This is the order in the Greek manuscripts. I have made known to them your name. Your name. Verses 3 and 4 and verse 6. Now, what does this mean? His name. A name is used to tell not only who a person is, but what he is, in the sense that we're using it here. Name is often used of one's character. The only true God in verse 3. This is understanding the name. In ancient history, knowing the name of God was a great privilege. It was power. If you didn't know the name of that person's God, boy, you were kept out of that secret. If you could know the name of the true God, it is to your advantage. What kind of God is he? His attributes, his righteousness, his justice, his love. How do they work together? See, some people have a God who's righteous and justice and love, but boy, that righteousness and justice. Other people, oh, it's his love, and they kind of play down the righteousness and justice. You have to know how it all fits together for his glory and for our benefit. I have made known to them your name. Now, all through Scripture, making God known is an issue throughout all history. Let's have a little fun. By no means are we covering every one of them. I just picked out some of the key ones that are so obvious that when we look at them. Let's start with 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Now, 1 Chronicles deals primarily with the reign of David. We're seeing this in our 1 o'clock class on Sunday, but the reign of David. But let's just look at 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. And we're going to look at verse 8. Psalm of Thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory is his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. That is, seek his presence in your life continually. I wish we had time just to spend studying this wonderful passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm giving you these so you can go back and meditate on them. Look at chapter 17. Chapter 17. And let's look at verse 9. If you have the Bible with some kind of caption under 17, God's covenant with David. Remember, 1 Chronicles is about David, the reign of David. So let's look at chapter 17, verse 9. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them in order that they may dwell in their own place, and be moved no more, neither shall the wicked waste them any more as formerly. So that's what I'm going to do. What I, God, am going to do. All right, let's look at Psalms, the songbook of the kingdom. So let's start with Psalm 89. Like I said, there are many others, but these are just some that to me were beautiful. Psalm 89. Now, this is a psalm of David, and verses 1 through 4, praise in making the covenant. Praise in making the covenant. In fact, the NASB says the Lord's covenant with David and Israel's afflictions. Okay, let's look at verse 1 of Psalms 89. I will sing of thy love. I will sing of the love of the Lord forever, in time and eternity, to all generations. I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. See what he's saying? I'll make it known. What's Jesus Christ say? I will make it known. That's what we're here for. We're to make it known. Tell others about him. This is powerful. Let's look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91, let's look at verse 14. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high. Talking about Jesus Christ in prophecy. Because he has known my name. What did Jesus Christ say? I know him, I know you, and I've made you known to others. Let's look at Psalm 98. Psalm 98, verse 2. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Now, we're looking at making known. We're looking at making this known. The Lord has made known his salvation. Now, what I want to just point out for you in context, he has revealed his righteousness. People, a lot of times people relate righteousness with condemnation. Don't get us stuck on that. Righteousness is related to our redemption. Righteousness is related to our salvation. Because he is a righteous God, he's given to us his righteousness. So please understand that righteousness is very much a part of our salvation. Let's look at Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 1. The title that the New American Standard gave us, The Lord's Wondrous Works in Behalf of Israel. All right, let's look at 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. People, throughout the Word of God, you'll have where, and we'll see this even in our study of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. We start off with, he made the heavens. He made the earth. He made the universe. This is the God we're talking about. So we have what's going on in America today and throughout the world, but America is a designed effort to remove God from the creation, because then there'll be no glorying of him. There'll be no praise of him. There'll be no understanding of him. If we can just eliminate God and say that, no, this just all evolved. But if we look here at Psalm 105:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name every day throughout your life, but make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and judgments uttered by his mouth. So these are the things we can do. The Lord made the earth. The Lord made these things. The Lord provided salvation. Just puts him in this wonderful sphere of existence. Let's look at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. And let's read together verse 12. To make known Now you begin to see why Jesus Christ over and over and over through John 17 in his prayer, I've made known thy name I've made known, I declared it. To make known to the sons of men thy mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of thy kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures throughout all generations. What a wonderful thing we have to tell people about this God. He's the creator of all things. His salvation is freely offered. And for those who take it, it's an eternal kingdom, which we can be a part of. Let's look at Isaiah 12. Isaiah chapter 12. What we're doing, just reading all of these, deserves one full night of study of its own, but we'll move on. Isaiah chapter 12, and let's look at verse 4. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Israel, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. I feel like Dr. Dibler in seminary. Dr. Dibler taught church history, and he'd be going along like this, and then he'd just burst out singing. And we loved it. I mean, of course, it would take 4 minutes for a song, and it's 4 minutes you'd have to take notes. But he would just be going along, and he'd just burst out in song. I loved Dr. Dibler's class. And so he was a fine, fine teacher. All right, let's look at Ezekiel. Let's look at Ezekiel. Chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39. And we're going to look at verse 7. Ezekiel 39 verse 7. And my holy name I shall make known in the midst of my people Israel. And I shall not let thy holy name be profaned any more. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Jesus Christ has made his name known. And what did he say in our passage? And I will make it known. It's going to be two parts we're going to see. Well, I'll just tell you right now. I have made thy name known and will make it known. Two parts. One, by the Holy Spirit in the church age. And two, by the second advent, where he would fulfill what we just read. So you got to appreciate what we just read, 39:7. Yes? Rest of the world. Yes, they were. Huh? Yeah. That's why they're called a vineyard. Because what you do, a vineyard, what does a vineyard do? You make wine and you export it. You export it. And what does wine do? So you're sitting at your table, and especially if you go back then, where the water wasn't all that good, and they didn't have iced tea yet. Well, I guess they did have tea, because the Chinese had it. But they didn't have all. So you're sitting at your table. Here's Israel, and here you are up in Germany or in Africa, Ethiopia or somewhere. And so you're refreshed. Wine is good with a meal. And so what is their objective? Sending out the gospel. What is the gospel? It's good. Makes you refreshed. And that's why they're called the vineyard, because of that very purpose. And but they didn't do it. They failed to do it so often, yeah. But I love when I can watch kid's face and he just gets animated, starts smiling, and I can tell, oh, he's been reading something, working on something. Okay. Let's see. Let's go from Ezekiel. Let's go to the Gospel of John 15. get closer to where we are in our study, look at Gospel of John 15. And we're going to read verse 15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. There's the making known. People, we have here, those few of you that come on Wednesday night, most of you are the ones that come on Sunday morning at the first service, and then on the second service, we go into some detail and study. We have so much to tell the people in the world. We have so much to share. So much to tell them about God, about Jesus Christ, about this book, about the Holy Spirit, about themselves and eternity. This is what we're doing this for, so that we have this kind of desire. He has let us know these things. Let's look at Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. And we want to look at verse 28. Acts 2. Let's read together 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. People, this is just so phenomenal. To know him and to know his ways. Let's read the whole thing. Verse 25. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. That's powerful, people, when the Lord is that real to you. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of the gladness which with thy presence. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 16. End of the book of Romans. Romans 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience that is faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand. This is so powerful in so many ways, but the making known is, of course, our point of interest here. But upon which you receive by faith, which you stand. People, our study of Galatians was what? Saved by grace, live by law. You're saved by grace and you live by that same grace throughout your entire life. That's what that verse is saying. Let's look at Ephesians 1:9. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. He has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. He, God the Father, purposed in him Jesus Christ. And he's made it known to us. He's made it known to us. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. Ephesians 3, 3. That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. Look at verse 5. Which in our generation was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Look at verse 10, same chapter. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Uh-oh, to angels, people, to angels. Look at 6:19. Ephesians 6, verse 19. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. To what? To make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, 27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the confidence of glory. Now, put all of these things together. Where does this take us? Well, it takes us to what we're doing on Sunday morning, doesn't it? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Exactly what we're studying. Powerful passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, empiricism, ear has not heard, learning by being taught, and which have not entered the mind of man, rationalism, all that God has prepared for those who love Him, for to us God revealed through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. This is what we're here for in this sense, people. We're here to constantly learn and learn and grow in understanding the mysteries, the things prepared for us in time as well as eternity, and then to let others know about it. That's what this is about. If you have these mysteries and you keep them to yourself, a lot of evil organizations come along through history, and there are several in operation today. One of the most evil is the Masons. And it's a secret. It's in levels. And secret, secret, secret. You can't know our secret. People, God has a secret, and He's letting every one of us know it. It's only a secret to the born-again believer who doesn't avail himself to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit under the study and teaching of the Word of God. That's the only one that it's a secret from, as far as the body of Christ is concerned. So Jesus Christ knows the name of God the Father. Jesus Christ knows God the Father. And Jesus Christ has made known God the Father. And Jesus Christ will make known the name of God the Father. All right, let's look back at John 17 now. John 17, 26. I have made thy name known to them and will make it known. Future active indicative of the same verb. To declare or to reveal. Now, let's take a look at some important passages in dealing with this verb. And will make it known. We have read John 15, 15. That God has opened up things to me and I have revealed them to you. Another powerful passage. We've looked at Romans chapter 16, 25 through 16, or 25 and 26, which we just read. Let's look at Galatians 1, 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. For I would have you know, fellow believers, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. It's the same thing we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The man cannot understand the mysteries of God. Rationalism cannot do it. Man, no matter how intelligent, IQ, he cannot do it. It is known only through the Holy Spirit. It's the only way that it is known. And then the passages in Ephesians that we looked at, you can look at Philippians chapter 4. Well, in fact, let's take a look. We didn't do that. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, poor people. I wish we could get this down. This along with Isaiah, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But we get our mind on the world. We get our mind on ourselves. We get our mind on what we have, what we don't have, what we want, what's happening, all of these things. No, keep your mind stayed on him, and he will keep you in perfect peace. Now, Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that's your attitude, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right, our passage in John 17 now. Let's go back there. I have made known to them your name, and will make it known. What does Jesus Christ mean, and will make it known? First of all, by the sending of the Holy Spirit. He will make it known through the church age by the sending of the Parakletos. John 14, 26. Let's just turn back. It's just a few pages back. 14, 26. But the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, even those secret things, even all the things that God has prepared for you. Look at chapter 16, verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Same thing is said of Jesus Christ. I don't speak on my own initiative. I don't speak on mine. I speak only what the Father has instructed me to say. Okay, let's go back to 17:26. And will make it known. Now, oh, by the way, the first way it is by the coming of the Holy Spirit, and secondly, at the second advent, when he makes it known to all the nations that he destroys at the time of that are sieging Jerusalem, and the people that are left to go into the millennium will know his name. Okay. Now, why will he do this? In order that I will continue to make your name known, in order that the love wherewith you did love me may be in them. Now, what is so powerful here is that Christ is now going to close his prayer, not on glory, that's what he opened it up with, but on love. Let's look at 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Why does he close it on love? 1 John 4, 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Okay, think with me now. What Christ is saying, I have made you known. What has he made known? Your love. If you make God known, you're going to make his love known. If you make God known to the young people, to people that you come in contact with in life, and if they only know about his righteousness and his justice, you have not made God known. You make known his love for it is by his love that he saves. Note that love, not life, not glory, are his closing words. It's love. This opens up a whole study of 1 Corinthians 13. Now, in order that the love, the presence of the definite article specifies this love, the love, wherewith, relative pronoun, which you did love me, aorist active indicative of the verb of the noun, agapao, referring to divine love. Remember, there is divine love, there is spiritual love, and there is human love. This is referring to divine love. This is so powerful. Wherewith you did love me, agapao, not love through the Holy Spirit, people. Not love through the Holy Spirit, not love from the Holy Spirit, that's spiritual love, but this is the direct love from God the Father to the humanity of Jesus Christ. Aorist active indicative expresses the reality of this love from God the Father to Jesus Christ. The love wherewith you did love me. Now look what it says, and we'll close with this. May be in them. Present active subjunctive of I me. May be. Now let me just cover that subjunctive mood. What does that mean, subjunctive? To suggest that the action of the verb is conditioned. And here God the Father, his love for us, is dependent upon God the Father's love in Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to point out as we close, in order that the love which you did love me may be in them. Think about this. Not to them. Not receiving recipient of that love, but his love be in us. People, this is powerful. His love, the love that God the Father had for the Son, be in us. Preposition in. Not just to us. Not for us. See? Love. He did this because he loved us. But this is love that's in you. Think about that. May be in them. We know that we're to love one another as Christ loves. We also know that from John 15 that we are to abide in his love. But people, this is a dramatic advancement. His love in us. Now, how is this supernaturally possible that his love be in us? Anybody? Holy Spirit. This is so beautiful. Without mentioning the Holy Spirit in this prayer, it's all through this prayer. But this is what he's praying. Look at Romans 5:5. Look at Romans 5:5. We just studied it a couple of years ago. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through or by means of the Holy Spirit who was given to us. People, you just got to appreciate Jesus Christ has that love inside of him, and he prays, may be in us. God answers that prayer. And he answers that prayer by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're almost through with this wonderful prayer, and I'm kind of glad we didn't finish it up tonight, even though my notes we should have, but we didn't, and I'm thankful we didn't. So that gives us another week to work on the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll go through what happens after this great prayer. And I'm going to have a few things to say about that. Most people, when they say amen, it's kind of like it's all over. Now, we studied years ago something called prayer pursuit. Pursuing your prayer. The prayer isn't the end of anything. It should be the beginning if you know how to pray. But we'll come all to that later on. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we know your name, and we seek it more every day. We seek your presence in our life, as David did. We we seek you in the morning, in the heat of the afternoon, the darkness of the night. And Father, it is our joy to make your name known, to make your name known to others. It gives us joy to just think about it. It gives us joy to tell others about you, about your glory, about your plan, about your salvation, so much about you. Father, we just pray you'll continue to give us the time while we're here on earth to learn more and more about you, that we have more and more to tell others. Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen tonight, have them become a reality in our soul and in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Son, who yielded his life, the atonement.